Welcome back to the John Murphy Show in our third hour. I am delighted to be joined by a Hall of Famer, a future Hall of Famer. We just had Thurman. I told Murph he can't get this. He can't make this happen.
No way.
Jim Kelly. Jim Kelly, A Football Life airs Friday, 9 p.m. Eastern time. Jim, thank you for coming in to talk about the show. Have you been able to see it yet?
Yeah, I saw most of it, and pretty good. Thanks to guys like Steve and Thurman and Frank Reich, Coach Levy. I can go on and on. There's so many guys that came on and were willing to talk about those days of playing here. And even Frank bringing up the times when I told him, and I promised Frank that I would not become a Buffalo Bill. But the overall thing, I'd say 99% pretty good. The 1%, yeah. I was hoping, and as I was talking to you earlier, that they would have put something in there. And it's funny because I told them before – they're putting it all together. I said, just make sure you put the part in it that I said that one of the best decisions I ever made in my life was becoming a Buffalo Bill. And they didn't put that. So there's a lot of pieces in this show that talks about me not wanting to be a Buffalo, but I'm still here.
That's the best part of the story. As we all know, I'm fans here in Buffalo, we ran through it where you didn't want to come to Buffalo. You got drafted and you went and played the USFL. But then the great part of the redemption story is that you came here. Now it's your home. You'll never leave. I mean, this is your home now. And you love the city. The city loves you. It's been a great – that's part of the best part of the story is the fact that it went so much the other way where it started out so rocky.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I look at my whole life here. I know it's a football life from high school all the way through. But, you know, my football camp this year right here, 31 years. My golf tournament, 32 years. My son is laid to rest here. My wife's from here. My kids love it. My kids are the biggest Buffalo Bill fans you can ever imagine. Mm-hmm. So, I love it. And the people, as you all know, Steve, that's why you still live here too. The people are just amazing. And just that blue-collar mentality.
One of the other things too that disappointingly it didn't happen for you, but one of the things we get – because I've known you now since 1980. I knew you before you were a Bill. I knew you while you were a gambler when I was playing for the Oilers. Yep. We crossed paths a couple of times, but you also said that you wish too that because there's so many. That's the thing about you. I mean, when you came through life, you never forget anybody. So one of the things about you that I know and all the guys on the team used to know is we got to be friends with all your friends, including Terry, your high school football coach, who actually was not a part of the 30 for 30, which is kind of a bummer because, I mean, every football player remembers their high school football coach. It's kind of where you get started. And Terry didn't get a chance to be a part of this, but otherwise, I mean, he's been a constant.
Yeah, and the football life portrays all the way back to that day, and I just was a little disappointed in that. But you know what? I can't. I would love for him to be a big part of it because I grew up with that guy, and he's the one that told me that your work ethic is going to separate you from everybody else. There's a lot of great athletes. You know, your numbers are tired in high school, but when you go to Miami, so is theirs.
Yeah.
And it's going to be your attitude, how much you're willing to work, the sacrifice you make, because you're good now, but so are they. And what's going to separate you is your work ethic. And he always instilled that in me all the time. When I would come home in the summertime, I'd come home, I'd work out with him. He'd push me. And as a matter of fact, I've taken him, I think this might be the 29 Super Bowls. I've taken my five brothers and my high school coach.
Yeah. You know, I just got off the phone earlier today with my high school athletic trainer. He was the guy that helped us kind of get to all of these different camps and different things like that. There's always like one or two people, a couple of people in your life that can see everything in you, and they put you on this pedestal and they help you, you know, rise to that occasion, you know, and it sounds like that's what your high school coach was.
Oh, he was. He was our counselor when we needed somebody to talk to. Even, you know, during the days when we played, when we were going to the Super Bowls, how excited I was, and not only wanted to do it for the city of Buffalo and for our team, but for my hometown where I grew up in, East Brady, all my buddies that played football with me on a 28-man roster, 60 in my graduating class. And Steve's been to East Brady before. He knows it's just way out in the country, the boondocks. And the thing is, I love him to death. As a matter of fact, he's at my lodge right now. We're going hunting this week. So we're excited, and I'm excited to go see him.
Well, tell me a little bit about this. Now, as you know, I get it. You've come a long way, and anybody who has a football life made about them has years and years of history behind them. But
Steve's gonna have one soon.
Right, yeah. talk to us now. I mean, you're a lifer here in Buffalo. You've been a part of the organization for as long as me, 31 years. Tell me about this year. I mean, this kind of got a vibe about it that's different than we've seen in a couple of decades.
There's no doubt. And I'm so excited, like most people are. You know what change? The big change for me is, and it still happens every once in a while. I mean, it's part of football. But remember in the past couple of years, every time we had a big play, you'd look back and there'd be a yellow flag on it.
Oh, yeah.
And the discipline was just never there for a while. What Coach McDermott brings to this team, I think, is discipline. I mean, good example, not having our Marcel here. I mean, of all the people being not disciplined. But I love Marcel to death. I mean, it's just, you know, something that happens. But he brings that no-nonsense. If you're not going to be part of what I believe in, you're not going to be here. And I think that is huge. And I don't think you see the stupid penalties we used to get. You don't see 12, 13 guys on the field, and then all of a sudden, who's supposed to come off?
Yeah.
Everything seems to be flowing, especially when you look at the beginning of the season, when a new coach comes in, you feel, okay, it's going to take a couple years to build. Yeah. All of a sudden, Brandon Bean has done an amazing job at going out and getting what we really need. Not for the future. Yeah, there's some things with draft picks, but we're using some of those draft picks now to make our team better today.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I love being there. I love watching. And I'm excited to be right now 5-2.
I want
to
get into this season and how they're looking. But you guys, we always hear the stories about you guys and how good you guys were back in, you know, the 80s and 90s. Do you ever get tired of talking about that? Like, as you look at the team now and it's like, man, this is a good team. Like, I'm excited about this. You ever get tired of talking about those days?
You want to hit that first?
Well, I don't get tired of talking about it because it was a great bunch of guys, and we're still close friends. And we talk about it when we get to – well, we don't actually talk about it. It's like it never ended, you know? I mean,
right.
We take a trip and we go to Napa with the guys, and it's like we're still good.
Well, I mean, we it's good that we don't talk about a lot. We talk about more than what was on the football field. We talk about other things.
And we talk about our lives. We talk about our lives now, and it's interesting, I think, now. And it's – because this is what Sean McDermott found a real way to shortcut. We talk about things that are – we share our lives with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And we're interested in each other and what we're doing and what how the kids are doing and your kids and where you living and how's it going. And we've known not just each other, like Jim, Bruce Thurman, Andre, Darryl, and Cornelius, and Frank Reagan. We know their wives and their kids.
Yeah.
So we have a whole way of communicating that, you know, old friends do. Sean McDermott has shortcut that, and now you got these guys in this locker room who know about their families and know about who they, you know, they get up and they tell their story. Like, here's where I'm from, and here's where I'm coming from, and here's why it's important to me to be good.
And they're believing in
each
other.
And you know what? When you know that about somebody, you pull for them.
Mm-hmm.
You're cheering for them, and that means you want to help them. And when you got, you know, 63 guys in the room who are trying to help each other, it does. You do exceed expectations. You go 5-2 when you're supposed to go 2-5.
You know, you guys are talking about Sean McDermott shortcut this whole process. You guys played together for some years, you know, and so you had that bond.
We're no free agency.
Right, exactly.
We weren't going anywhere.
These guys, I mean, they're pulling guys off the streets, and they just fit in right with everybody else like a puzzle, you know, and it's, like, amazing to see these guys just come in, and it's like, hey, man, it's a family. Guys are celebrating on the sideline. You don't see that too often today in the NFL.
They're buying into what Sean has brought there, and I think one of the most important things that we had – and I could start seeing it here, is we believe in each other. You believe we're going to win football games. In the past, it's almost like, what are we going to do to screw this up? That's what we probably thought. I know I did when I'm up there. We're up, you know, 10 points with 8 minutes a game.
Yeah.
How are we going to screw this up?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we don't. Now, yeah, we're 5-2. We still got a long way to go.
Yeah.
We got some tough games coming up. But you know what? Being 5-2, I think these guys are starting to believe in each other. And I think once you take the football field, you get that mentality behind you, knowing we can do this. You now start not leaning on each other, but believing in each other.
Yeah, it's interesting, too. One of the things about this team that I've noticed is, you know, they start out, they don't, you know, this is not a team that jumps out to a lead. This is not a team that, you know, they kind of fight through that first half and stay close, but they never take any steps backwards, you know, especially even with Hauschka this year. He doesn't miss the key kick, you know.
Yeah.
And so they get that 3 points, and then maybe they get a touchdown, they get another 3 points, and all of a sudden they're right in it at halftime when the other team, they get a big penalty. Like like last week, the Raiders got a big penalty on a big kick return to put them down deep. Yep. They came all the way back. And then they get, you know, then they start turning it over. A guy coughs it up before halftime. Well, you get a free touchdown. And all of a sudden you look up, it's 34-14.
Yeah.
And you've been, it's like been breaking rocks with a hammer. It's not easy.
Yeah.
But you're winning by 20. And that when you look back at it and you get a feel for the team has a foundation that is rock solid. And when you don't take step backwards and you keep moving forward, even through in games, all of a sudden you end up winning some games you're not supposed to win.
And you want it to happen for the Pagulas. They've sacrificed their life for this. And, you know, with having the Sabres and having the Bills going through that transitional period where you got two new coaches, how long is it going to take? And but hiring the right people, Russ Brandon doing what he has to do, and then, of course, Brandon Bean coming in and making some changes to people like, oh, no. And now all of a sudden it's like, oh, yeah. So things are starting to pay off. It's going to take – I think it's going to take a little time, even though now we're 5-2, but – you never know. This is a National Football League. You don't know when you travel. I thought we would beat the Cincinnati Bengals. I really did too.
Yeah.
I knew there was going to be a couple tough games that we had. We win, it's a big plus. But Cincinnati is one of those games where I thought we should win. But all of a sudden, there's some games that I knew was going to be a toss-up. Right. But here we are, 5-2. I'm happy. We get a tough part of November. We play New Orleans Saints. We play, I think, the Chargers one of the games.
Yeah, the Chargers and
the
Chiefs.
Chiefs, which is going to be tough. At Kansas City.
I was on the sidelines for Monday Night Football, and they were playing Denver. And I told some guys, listen, we played out there on a Monday night game and got crushed. And I pointed the guy, they were with the NFL, you know, and I said, we sang this song all the way on the flight home. We sang their touchdown song, the Chiefs' touchdown song, all the way home on the flight, because they scored so many times is all we heard all night. We were singing the stinking song on the way home. It's hard to win out there.
I still feel that, and people ask me, where's the toughest place to ever played? And I said, Kansas City, because we ran a no huddle. They were on their feet screaming before I even took the field. Neil Smith and
Derek Thomas.
Yeah, they were beating me to my drop. I mean, I was going back there, and they were already, okay, come on back. We're waiting for you. I got pummeled that game. But you know what? It woke us up, and we went on a roll.
You know, you talked about the Cincinnati game. We got about a minute left with you here, Jim. But you were talking about the Cincinnati game. The one thing that they were missing was a big play receiver. It just made the big move. Got to ask you about what's it like for Tyrod now? He has a new shiny toy to play with.
Well, number one, Tyrod has done an unbelievable job this year. He's maybe not surprised people, but I think because it's a new system and all that, people, how long is it going to take him? He's done a great job. He makes big plays happen with his legs, which a lot of people in the NFL cannot do anymore. And anytime you take somebody's top receiver away from him, now you bring somebody in to replace that. I don't know if you'll replace it, but Benjamin's pretty darn good. So if it's me, I'm excited big time. Find a way that you can put him in a game. I hope he plays. You're going to run a post pattern here.
You're going to run a deep comeback.
You know what it's like.
And you're not going to be able to probably audible while he's in there, but give him some catches, some touches, some targets, and get him used to playing for the Buffalo Bills.
We'll see how it works out tomorrow if he will play tomorrow night.
Thanks for being in.
Yeah, thank you for coming in.
Football Life.
Football Life, 9 o'clock. And Steve, thank you. And Thurman and all the guys have done such a wonderful job in this this piece that they're doing on me Friday night. So I'm blessed to say I'm a Buffalo Bill.